Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time to talk Giant football during their bye week. And joining us to do that, as always at this time of day, is Mr. Paul Dottino. And he's brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair. Nobody. By Bud Light. When game day is a go, there's a Bud Light there. By Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. So what are you waiting for? Get a quote at geico.com. And by Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit one of their 80 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, or book online at handandstone.com. Mr. Dottino, well, with the COVID situation, I hope you, sir, are healthy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Richard. Same to you. The Giants getting some unpleasant surprises, obviously, with Gano and then the other three special teams players testing positive. But, you know, fortunately, at this point, we haven't heard any negative news about them. And when I say that, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying in terms of them being seriously ill, you know, there are so many different levels of this. I haven't heard anything that makes me indicate that this is so alarming that these guys won't be able to recover quickly.
And in Gano's case, he might even be ready for next week, right?
Possibly. Yes, possibly. You remember, it's a 10-day deal. The NFL has protocols in place that from the time you test positive, the earliest that you can come back with your team is 10 days. So there is a possibility, provided that, again, Gano doesn't have any setbacks, that it's a mild case or an asymptomatic case, and that he's able to keep up his conditioning enough to where, you know, there's no atrophy or anything of that nature, so that he could come back quickly. Remember, Will Hernandez basically was quarantined when he had come up with the positive test. He said he was, you know, at his home and just working out as best as he could while being in quarantine. And they were able to get him back last week, but he only played limited snaps. There is a certain amount of fatigue factor and conditioning loss when you have to go through some kind of illness like this.
Well, fortunately, though, when you're a kicker, it's, you know, the condition of your leg. And again, we don't know, you know, there are all kinds of things, some heart conditions and side effects with this that can affect you. But hopefully in Gano's case, it's, you know, he can keep his leg limber and exercised and be able to come back, because he's really, I mean, he's having a Pro Bowl season.
No question. Career year for him, one of the finest seasons you could ever ask for. He's, what was he got, 157-yarder that he missed in terms of field goal attempts. Other than that, he has been exemplary, almost like a robot. He's been that good. And so, yeah, obviously, as the Giants try to make some kind of run here down the stretch, they would love to have his automatic leg available if they can.
Well, you know, a few weeks ago, if you had said that, make some kind of run down the stretch, we would have laughed and said, well, come on. But you know what? You pointed it out last weekend, and I think a lot of other writers have caught up on that, too, that this tie that Philly had earlier in the season may be the determinative factor as who wins the division. And right now, the Giants are in as good a position as any, pretty much.
Well, they're fortunate in that their next four games, Cincinnati and Seattle, Arizona and Cleveland, are honestly against teams that have a little bit of a lesser pass rush, a little bit less of a formidable defensive front than the teams they obviously faced during the first half of the season. And that in itself, again, I don't like to use the word easier opponent, but the matchup is certainly a much more favorable matchup than it would have been otherwise. Because when you're talking about teams with the dominant fronts, well, now that's the thing that's going to cause you trouble with your pass protection. That's going to cause trouble with, you know, trying to establish a running game, which is going to keep you balanced and keep those guys back on their heels. So in that regard, as this improving offensive line continues to march upwards, these are opponents that, you know, they might be able to do some business against. I don't think it's out of the question to think the Giants could potentially win four out of their last six games. If they do, 7-9 is most likely going to get you a playoff spot. Again, I don't think 6-10 will because of that Eagles-Bengals tie. But 7-9, I got a hunch that that's going to do it.
Well, 6-10 might, in terms of, you know, again, schedules, it's hard to figure. But the Eagles have the Browns, then they play the Seahawks, they have the Packers, they have the Saints, whether Breeze is back by then or not, we don't know. They have the Cardinals, and they're playing in Arizona. Cardinals are pretty formidable. Of course, the Giants have the Cardinals at MetLife. And then they play the Cowboys at the end of the season. That's a tough schedule for a team that looks as, shall I say, shaky as the Eagles?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, Richard, the whole division is facing a tough schedule. I mean, this was the draw that they got this year. Yeah. You know, as they continue to rotate the divisions per the NFL's scheduling formula, this just happened to be a year where the NFC East was going to be in turmoil, in rebuilding mode, and they were going to have to go up against a couple of divisions that were going to be extremely difficult to face. This is just, you know, the way it turned out. The dice sometimes come up this way.
Yeah, and the Cowboys have the Vikings, Washington, the Ravens, the Bengals. Giants have the Bengals, too. They have the 49ers, who are obviously on the downside, and then the Eagles at the end. So it's really crazy, but I was so impressed by the way the Giants finished this game. You know, they had 3 weeks before not been able to finish the Eagles despite having the lead. This week, they did it. The defense, bend but not break. You know, they got the job done when they had to get it done, especially in the final two-minute drills.
Well, you know what, Richard? I think it's something I've been talking about for a long time. I know you and I have had this discussion. Guys in the receiving corps need to step up and make contested catches. Make plays for your quarterback. You know, it's his job to throw the ball in your box, to give you a chance to make a play. You have to finish off that play. The quarterback can't be there to make the catch on the other end of his throw. And what did we see? Well, we saw last week after the Eagles had come down with a very critical score to kind of make this game really, really close. The Giants came back the other way, and they got some nice contested catches. Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate in particular on a touchdown drive that immediately answered Philadelphia. And to me, that right there, that's what I've been talking about for a long, long time. Your guys on the other end of those passes need to make plays for the quarterback. So they make, those two guys, make two contested catch throws. And now suddenly those are highlights at the end of the game, and those lead to the points that really put the Giants back in control and took the momentum back from Philadelphia. The Giants, over the last three or four games now, they've been making those types of plays that allows them to be in position. And they weren't making those earlier in the season. And in fact, it's been several years since the Giants were making those kinds of plays in games. And I think that's a really, really big difference.
Well, you almost sound like Gisele Bündchen when you say that Tommy cannot catch the ball and throw the ball at the same time. Now, if you look like her, that would be a whole different story. But you know, it's true. And that, to me, has been the difference. Because, you know, the Giants have competent receivers. You know, there aren't that many drops. But those contested plays, I mean, obviously the key was the Arizona game with the Hail Mary with Watson and that, where you got three guys around you and you catch it. But the Giants made plays – you know, I can't say three guys, but two guys draped all over Sterling Shepard, and he makes the catch and holds on to it going down, stays in bounds, things like that. And you're absolutely right. That was a time when the Eagles came back after the half, and they were right back in that game, and the Giants said, no, you're not.
No, three-point game, you know, after that Eagles score. And Daniel Jones says, okay, fine, we're going to kick right back. And bang, 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 right down the field. And more often than not, in that situation, as somebody who's watched a lot of Giants football, what you'll usually find is those passes are going to get broken up. Those passes are going to get dropped. Those passes are going to, you know, be deflected off somebody's fingertips. And all of a sudden, the momentum is going to stay with the other team, and the Giants are going to be in a whole lot of trouble. Not this time. Their receivers fought for the ball, attacked the ball, made the plays. And, you know, those are little small incremental steps that when you do those things, the spiderweb of pro football, it allows you to build on a play after a play after a play. And before you know it now, you're in good position instead of the other team. I can't emphasize it enough, Richard. I know maybe some people don't want to, you know, don't want to hear about it anymore, because I have been actually talking about this for a long time. But it's come to fruition now where the Giants are making plays for their quarterback.
Okay, well, let's talk about the little disruption in the force this week where Mark Colombo is replaced. I made a joke earlier today that it was because every time Joe Judge would leave a meeting, Colombo would say, there's one more thing, sir, I want to ask you. But that's another Colombo I was thinking of. But
wearing a trench coat, I'm sure.
There you go. Okay, you got it. Good. I didn't have to explain it. That's good. But seriously, the Post is reporting this morning that there were some altercations. They never got physical, but they got pretty loud. And apparently it was one of the main disagreements was Joe Judge wanted to have basically eight offensive linemen, bring some guys in, replace them, move them in and out, keep everybody fresh, whereas Colombo thought it was important to have the same five guys to develop chemistry, to develop, knowing what the other guy was going to do, and they had battled over this. Plus, there were a couple of occasions where somebody like Andrew Thomas was criticized by Judge directly as opposed to letting the offensive line coach do that. Tell us what you know about that relationship and how it went south.
Both very vocal guys, very determined guys, fiery and energetic kind of guys. It's one of the reasons why Colombo was brought onto this staff, because you want structure, you want energy, you want guys who are going to be forceful and make sure they hammer home the point. And apparently, you know, over the course of the season, there were philosophical disconnects between the two. And when that happens, especially when you have strong-headed minds and strong-headed people who are going to be vocal about it, you're going to have some fractures. Now, the only thing that I will say about this is that the Giants' offensive line has clearly gotten better over the course of the season. We can credit the players themselves for obviously improving their play and maturing and starting to gel. We can credit Joe Judge for perhaps, you know, adding some of his touch to whatever he believed the offensive line needed to be. And I think we also have to credit Coach Colombo, who obviously from the very beginning, when they got a late start because of the COVID, meeting these players, has been able to also help coach them up from scratch. A young offensive line rebuilt, you know, with three new of five of the five players on the line. To me, it's a shame that there wound up being a philosophical fissure. But if that's the case, the one thing we do know, and I'll make this very clear, and, you know, there's no mistake in this. It is Joe Judge's team. Not only is he the boss, and does he have the right to do something like this if he feels necessary, this is a guy who is very, very, very much believing in structure. And, you know, if there's a fissure somewhere, it's not going to be good for the other person, because it's going to be done within the structure that he is trying to implement, understanding that it's his job to turn this team around. And I think, this is an example of what we've seen.
Well, Paul, philosophically, I mean, we've talked about lines maturing together, staying together, you know, the great giant lines back in the aughts, where, you know, one guy would just look at the other guy and he'd know what he was going to do and, you know, improvise and things like that. Which do you think makes more sense, alternating guys, bringing in fresh legs, or just keeping guys together? Or can it be a combination?
Yeah, the continuity has always been the general and majority consensus that you need continuity on your line because the guys do need to mesh and their fabric needs to come together. That has always been the consensus and the majority opinion. It doesn't mean that there aren't more ways to skin a cat. Obviously, there are. We do know that there have been selected instances, including with what Bill Belichick does in New England, where guys have worked other people into their lineup. It is a credit to the Giants' young players, Parrott and Lemieux in particular, as they have come off the bench to take some snaps in this rotation, and they have earned, according to Joe Judge's obvious deployment of them, they have earned those snaps because they have come along quickly. They have accelerated their development. Otherwise, I don't think he would do it. I mean, I guess what I'm saying to you is, Richard, while it is a minority viewpoint to use the mixture and the rotation as he has, I have to believe that Joe Judge is so headstrong about winning and making this foundation a good foundation that if he didn't think those guys were capable or ready to be inserted into this fashion, he never would have even thought about it. But because of their accelerated development and maturing process, he believes they've earned it, and so he has given them a chance to do it. Again, it's a minority viewpoint. I understand that. I'm not saying that I agree with it, because it's certainly one that is not commonplace. But if he's decided that they have earned it, and quite frankly, over the last few weeks, as you've seen these guys get in there, there hasn't been any drop in the line. They've actually performed well. It's kind of hard to argue with what he's done because it seems to be coming out on the positive side, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. In terms of the lines of authority, that's, reading the Post article this morning, that was the other thing that struck me. We're not in on the meetings, of course, but
no.
The head coach, is he encroaching on the position coach's situation? I mean, in any management structure, sometimes there will be an employee that is out of line a little bit, and the big boss will tell the immediate supervisor, hey, talk to this guy because he's not with the program. And it is seldom that the big boss then gets to the, minor employees or whatever, and tells him, hey, you're not doing it right, which apparently Judge did. In terms of football and head coaching, in your experience, is that Judge's inexperience, or is that just the way he's going to operate because he's the boss?
Well, I think this is the way that he believes he needs to operate. And I mean, I remember some years back, you probably remember this as well, when Tom Coughlin was the head coach, Giants were going into the last couple of games of the regular season that one year, and John Huffnagel was his offensive coordinator and Kevin Gilbride was his quarterback's coach. And all of a sudden, as we're getting down to the end of the season and we're watching the Giants, kind of close things out, Coughlin says, oh, I'm making a change. And just like that, and this is, Eli was already the quarterback. This was sometime in the mid 2000, like 2005, 2006, mm-hmm. somewhere in that area. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting now exactly what year it was. And all of a sudden, the week of the game, Tom Coughlin says, that's it. Huffnagel's out. Gilbride is being elevated from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. Just like that. So I've seen this happen before. This is not the first time that I have seen a positional coach changed out while the season was being played. So, he's not going by a template here. Obviously, Joe Judge felt that there was a need to do this, and so it's within his rights to do it. And I don't think he was trying to send a message to anybody other than he believes that there was a fissure that couldn't be broached. I don't really have any other explanation for it, Richard, other than I've seen it happen before. This is not the first time an assistant coach has lost his spot during the season.
And the guy he brings in is somebody he's worked with before and has extensive offensive line coaching experience, so it's not like you're going with somebody that is new at the job.
Very true. A guy who he has spent 2 years with New England, Dave DeGuglielmo, also, by the way, for 5 years tutored under Tom Coughlin and Pat Flaherty, and was with that Giants Super Bowl line in 42 when they beat the Patriots in Arizona.
Yeah, and somebody who was under consideration for the offensive line coach before they hired Colombo, from what I hear,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no question. I'm sure that he was. And you know, Colombo obviously got recommendations from Jason Garrett. I know Bill Parcells is a big fan of Mark Colombo. And quite honestly, from everything that I saw, I'm a big fan of Mark Colombo, too. Philosophically, whatever the fissure was that has caused this, in my opinion, this doesn't necessarily reflect poorly on Mark Colombo as a coach at all. I still think that he's got a terrific future in this league as an offensive line coach. And for whatever the reason was that this thing broke down, it is what it is and you move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just different philosophies. And you're right. You got to be on the same page with your head coach, your general manager, and the whole thing. Okay. Well, we will see. You got a bye week this week. And then, they're all big games coming down the stretch. And who would have thunk it, just a few weeks ago? And Daniel Jones, offensive line better, of course, but he does seem to be very, very mindful of, well, this play's blown up. Let me throw it away or tuck it under and not take any chances.
Yeah, I think go back to the last two games, Richard, you know, and the critics will point to, oh, look at how many sacks the Giants gave up. I think it's 8 sacks over the last two games. Yeah, but you know what's interesting? And this is how you can actually see the development. In each of the last two games, Daniel Jones took 2 sacks apiece in situations where earlier in the year he would have forced a throw into a risky spot and probably got himself intercepted or certainly a chance of an interception. That's not what happened the last 2 weeks. He didn't throw any picks now. It's been almost 9 quarters since he's thrown any interceptions. And in those last two games, by taking those now, what turns out to be a total of 4 sacks over those 2 weeks, yeah, you say, well, gee, sacks stink. Yeah, but you know what? They were the smart play. They were the prudent play. And it, to me, those sacks were evidence of how he held the ball a little longer. He looked for his first, second, third option. He stepped up. He tucked the ball away. He took the sack. Smart play. Looks like he's been watching some of that Eli Manning tape to me.
Okay, Paul, we'll talk to you again next weekend. Giants will have the Bengals next weekend. And we'll see where it goes from there. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Richard.
You too, Paul. Paul DiTino on the Giants.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.